Johnny and Leonie? Johnny and Leonie. Hallelujah. Thank you that we can express godly love like that in a wonderful, wonderful, precious way. Amen. God is good. Thank you for making the time to come this morning. Trust that you feel right at home in the presence of God today. Today, we're going to take a break from our sermon series on holiness. It's that time of the year where we focus on what the vision of Bikers Church is again. Who can tell me what the vision of Bikers Church Fall Triangle is? So how many of you recited that without looking at the banner? Yes, Eerlijk, we're getting there. That's the vision of CMA and Bikers Church. And I'm scheduled in Dairies to preach that several times this year, just that we can make sure that that vision is sharp. So we know, let's just say this together. Okay, go. This together. Okay, now that you've practiced that, let's say the vision together. It is bringing the unchurched into the family of God to advance His kingdom. One more time, Mamet Evering. Bringing the unchurched into the family of God to advance His kingdom. Now that's not something that we can achieve on our own. Who dunamens it? You see, if it's not for the presence of the Holy Spirit working in and through us, you know what we are? We're just a bunch of happy, clappy Jesus freaks that can join any other social club out there. Wees eerlijk met mekaar. Because as it nie die werking en die teenwoordigheid van die Heilige Gees is in ons midde, wat het ons dan wat ander gelowige mense nie het nie? Kan een van julle vir my sê? What do we have if it's not the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives that makes us different in the world as Christians? Hoe durf ons so ver om te gaan as om te sê Jesus Christus is die enigste weg, die waarheid en die lewe? Hoe durf ons dit sê if it's not for the Spirit of God? So this morning, when we get ourselves excited and have all these war cries, visions and stuff like that, know that it's by God and God only that enables us to do such things. Now when I look at that vision, you might ask yourself, several things might come up in your mind when you say that's the vision of Bikers Church, bringing the unchurched. Mense raak opgewonde as mense lidmaatskap opneem by hulle kerk, waar het nou net onlangs 'n ander kerk verlaat, omdat iemand hulle daar omgekrap het. And they get excited, yay, we've got new people. Me, not so much. All that's happened is that one fish has gone from one aquarium to another aquarium. Amen. That's all that's happened. It's good that mense come and, but what about the unchurched? What about the unchurched? In his prayer, Alfie said that, Lord, we use these finances to reach those that perhaps don't know you and love you like we do. And that is the purpose and the heart of this church, to reach unchurched people. People that don't experience the joy of the fellowship of God. People that don't know what it's like to come to a place where people do life together. It's not a showcase for perfect Christians. It's a hospital where God fixes those who realize and say, Lord Jesus, I'm broken, I need you. That's what church is. So if you think that this is a place for perfect people, Mensa, look at me. It can't be a perfect church. I'm the pastor. Hello? How in his right mind would God choose somebody like me to shepherd his people? Come on, man. That's got to give you hope. Come on, that's got to give you hope. And that's what it's like, bringing the unchurched into the family, because it's a family. What happens in family? By your family, die familie wat jy deel is van, nee. Julle familielede, het julle altyd, heeltyd, oor die weg met mekaar gekom? Is there anybody here, you always got on well with your family all the time? All of your family? Come on, man, be real. There's times, there's people where you don't want them to be your family. Come on, let's be real. That's why this is a family. We're not called to like each other all the time. Be honest with yourselves, there's times that you don't like yourself. So, moenie 'n gly vang when there's people that you don't like, but we have a commandment to love each other. There's a difference. I might not like what you do, I might not like your hairstyle, I might not like your attitude, but I gotta love you. I gotta love you with the love of Christ. Why? Because He loves me. And because he loves me, die minste wat ek kan doen teenoor meer mense is om dieselfde liefde te bewys hierso. Bring in the unchurched into the family of God. Why? Sodat ons kan boast, ons soveel lede kry en dat daar soveel inkomste is van die tiendes en die offergawes dat ons 'n groot gebou kan bou en dat ek 'n fancy bike kan ry en is that why? No. It's to advance his kingdom. Amen. To advance his kingdom. I shared this at a memorial service I did on Friday. The scripture says that everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. And here's the image that God gave me. And I didn't share it at the memorial service, but it's like this. It's like a person working with a piece of wood. He's busy sculpting a piece of wood. He uses tools and machines, some hand tools, some electric machines or whatever, on the piece of wood. And then that which he doesn't want, what does he do? He just blows the dust away or the wood shavings away. And it's like that. In the world today, everything, in our financial structures, in our societies, in commerce and industry, in arts and education, and in the business world, everything is being shaken. The Bible says that which can be shaken is going to be shaken. What is God saying by doing that? Ladies and gentlemen, everything that we as humankind hold dear to ourselves, where we place just a little bit of security more in that than we do in the living God, is being put to the test. So that we will see that at the end of the day, this heaven and this earth is passing away, and that which is going to endure forever is the Word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what this is about. That's applicable to believers as well as non-believers. You as a believer, the promises that you have from God that you're holding on to, my brother, my sister, it is going to be shaken. Hoekom? Because as long as those promises lay toegevou, and dit wat jy jou Bybel noem, or it's on your Bible app on your phone, as long as they stay there, the devil is cool with that. But read one of those promises. Believe one of those promises. Make one of those promises your own and start living that promise out. You're going to get the attention of the devil. And he's going to come and try and take it from you because he has a portfolio and a mandate. And his portfolio is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And his mandate is to take you out. So every time you take a promise of God and you make it your own and you start believing it for yourself, your world is going to be shaken. He's going to come for you. But this nie, bang maak stories nie. It's a case from, okay, come for me. Because when I am weak, my God is strong. When I am weak, my God is strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if the devil has to get to you, make sure that he has to get over heaps and heaps and heaps of scripture before he gets to you, before he can start smuggling with your mind. Because if you don't, your world is going to be shaken. And when the shaking comes, just know that that which falls and breaks away and word weggespoel and whatever, word nie daar nie eerste plek nie. Because at the end of the day, I saw a picture today that just struck me. Today, this week, it's got two graves next to each other. And above the one it says, rich man. And the grave is empty. And above the other one it says, poor man. And guess what? The grave is also empty. Do you know what the only thing is that we can take with us to heaven when we die? Each other. People. You can't take your houses, your cars, your bikes, your insurance policies, your aftree vakansieplekke, your goud, your whatever. Somebody once joked, daar's 'n beginsel in die skrif wat van mense nie inglo nie, maar whatever your thinking is on that, it's known, some people call it the rapture. Describes Jesus coming to meet us on the clouds, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and a oogvink at the sound of the trumpet, woohoo, hallelujah. Five of you are excited about that. Hopefully God gets hold of the rest of you before this day's out. And some people said that, ons is so vas aan die aardse besittings that when we're going to be raptured, we're going to be raptured like upside down. The devil wants, God wants to like take me up, and so I'm like, hang on Lord, there's just a couple of things I want to take with you. Ons is so vas aan die dinge van die wereld. Mense, these things, in 'n oogwink is hulle weg. So what this is about is our vision. It's not about anything else other than the kingdom of God. Because once the fat lady and her sister is sang, once everything is said and done and the chips are down, that's the only thing that's going to remain, the kingdom of God. We know the book of Romans teaches us that it's not eating and drinking or material possessions. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. But when I look at that vision, I see that it's very easy for us to think in terms of those goals, the unchurched. Let's get the unchurched. That's our focus, the unchurched. And let's bring them into the family. Let's grow this family. Let the family grow and develop. Let us lift us from Makar, and we get on with Makar, and when we have differences, that we sort them out by loving each other and forgiving each other. And that can also become a goal in itself. And then we can think, okay, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. That can become a goal. But I want to just turn the whole thing upside down this morning. So that God wants us to focus on something that's deeper and more significant to Him than all of that. What could be more significant to God than the unchurched coming into a loving relationship with Jesus Christ? What could be more important to God than that? Think about it. What could be more important to God than His family? What could be more important to Jesus? Every single parable He spoke about was the kingdom, not every, most, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. What could be more important than that? Would you like to know? Because there is something that trumps all of those, and His name ain't Donald. There's something that trumps all of those goals, as noble and as upright as they may be. And the first scripture I want to share with you this morning is from the book of Genesis. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the 15th chapter and verse 1, please. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. We pick up a story in the Bible where Abraham comes to discover that one of the bad dudes comes and steals his family members. And Abraham decides to do something about this. So he gets together a posse and he goes and rescues his family members. And then we pick up in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. And it says this. I'm reading from the New King James, this particular verse. It says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision." This is before God gave him the name Abraham. He's still called Abram. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.'" I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. And therein, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters of the Most High God, is the thing that trumps all of the stuff that's wrapped up in the vision. God says to Abraham, "I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." Our purpose for bringing in the unchurched must be that they can have an intimate relationship with God. Our purpose for pursuing solid, healthy relationships as a family must be for the cause of having an intimate relationship with God. Our purpose for trying to establish the kingdom of God by His grace and anointing of His Spirit must be for the purpose of having an intimate relationship with God. When God promised Abraham something, He didn't say, "Abraham, amongst other things, yes, I'm going to make you the father of many nations." But He never describes any of those things that He promised Abraham like He made in this promise. He says, "I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." And folks, this church's vision, we've put it into words, but if we don't have our goal as God as our exceedingly great reward, dan kan ons net sowel daai binne afhaal, oprol, wegpak, deure toemaak, ligte afsit en huis toe gaan. Because we're missing the object of Christianity and our walk with Jesus. You see, why did you give your life to the Lord in the first place? While you're thinking about that, let me share my story with you. Is that okay? I was desperate. That's why I gave my life to the Lord. I didn't give my life to the Lord to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't give my life to the Lord because I loved Jesus. And I go, yes, I'm being real. I didn't give my life to the Lord Jesus because I made a commitment, "Lord, I'm going to lay down my life and live for You all the rest of my days." I got to the point in my life where the devil convinced me that suicide is the only way out. He got me to believe a lie that as a man, if you have to ask somebody for help, you're already a failure. And after 2 weeks of sleepless nights and having hell on earth at job and at home and everywhere, I decided this is it. I'm going to blow my brains out. I closed the bedroom door, drew the curtain shut, sat on my bed, and was choosing which gun's going to kill me the quickest. My personal 357 Magnum or the state's 9mm. And I was about to blow my brains out. In desperation and brokenness and hopelessness and despondency and despair and hell on earth inside my life, that's when I cried out to Jesus. And I called out to Jesus then. So I gave my life to Jesus because of the life that He can give me. Is that wrong in His eyes? It's okay with Him. That's why He gave His life. I didn't give my life to lay down my life. I laid down my life to get life. I wanted what Jesus had to offer me. I wanted the promises of the gospel. I wanted all the goodness that God spoke about. And that was cool to begin with. And then I learned this lesson in life. That if God never answers another prayer of mine ever again, will I still love Jesus? Think about that. Will I still love Jesus? If God is not playing Father Christmas and answering all the prayers and fulfilling His promises, and the scripture says He's not a man that He should lie. It's impossible for Him to lie. He cannot lie. He'll never go back on His promises. But if God is not giving me what I want, am I still going to be so excited about Jesus? Because if I'm not, then I've got some ulterior motive. My purpose, and ladies and gentlemen, your purpose for living for the Lord Jesus Christ must to gain Him and Him only and nothing else. Are you still going to live for God if He doesn't answer another one of your prayers ever again? Think about that. Is the fact that He gave up His life on the cross and shed His blood for you, is that enough? The fact that He's made a way for you to be restored to the Father, is that enough? Or are you in this Christianity thing because you realize that if I do X, Y, Z, and my little goody two-shoes, and I'm Holy Joe, and I do all the right Christian things, dan as ek op ek knie gaan, en ek vra vir God, dan moet Hy vir my gee, because ek was maar 'n soet seentjie gewees. Is that your mentality here? That I'm doing these things, so then, well, it's tit for tat. God, I do this, You do that. I bring my part, You do Your part, God. That's not the relationship that God wants from us. You see, how did Jesus Christ lay down His life? Onvoorwaardelijk. Unconditionally. He didn't sit up there with God in heaven saying, God, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Somebody has to die for these muchus down there. Okay. Nobody else here in heaven's volunteering, so, oh, well, I'll not go. But there's a couple of conditions, God. First of all, I want X amount of people to believe me. Then I want them to build buildings in honor of my name. Then I want them to get together at least once a week and sing songs about me. I want people, Lord God, to be willing to lay down their lives for me. I want them to do all of these things before I lay down my life. Did He do that? No. He said, regardless. Some translations say, while we were still at war with God. Yes, it says enmity in one translation, the New King James. In other words, waar my hele siel en my mens wees, teen God en sy beginsels en sy wee, beklei het en so aan. Waar ek heeltemal vastbeslote was om my eie wil te hê in my lewe. While that was happening, Jesus said, it's okay, I love you anyway, I'm going to come and I'm going to die in your place because I love you. Ladies and gentlemen, you are not worth something this morning because Jesus died for you. Listen carefully. You are not worth something because Jesus died for you. But because you're worth something, He died for you. Heeltemal anderster. It's because you're worth something that He died for you. And in pursuit of our vision, this must be your goal. God is my shield and my exceedingly great reward. If I don't get another prayer answered again, the fact that this Savior, this God who became man, died in my place, Lord, that's sufficient for me to keep me going on. Because at the end of the day, all the things that we can get together and keep for ourselves in this life, it's going to be something for me. There's no human being, no man, no woman, no bank balance, no fame, nothing that can fill the void that is in your life that only Jesus can fill. You might have heard this before, that there's a God-shaped vacuum inside of you. There's a God-shaped emptiness inside of you that only God can fill. How many of you have heard that before? I want to say this. There's a U-shaped emptiness in God that only you can fill. Now that's precious. You see, out of everything that God can create, ek meen, hy hoef nie eens te praat nie, mense. Hy kan net dink. He can create anything He wants to. He chose to have intimacy with you. With you. Like there's nothing on this earth that must be more important to us than God Almighty. There is nothing more important to God Almighty than you. You're valuable and you're precious to Jesus. There is nothing in life that he has created that he can do to keep himself entertained or bring joy and pleasure to his heart. Nothing like you. Nothing. Nothing comes close but you. And we need to have that same attitude towards God, that God, that's why we do this. That's why we have a vision. That's why we get together on a Sunday. That's why we try in our quiet times, in our prayer times, to learn and to grow. So that God, you can be my exceedingly great reward. Is God a sufficient reward for you this morning? Or is it fame and fortune and a lekkere maklike lewe? Folks, I confess to you this morning, I'm being honest and I'm sharing my heart, I'm being open this morning. For many, many, many years, I served Jesus because of the wonderful life that I had because of it. I served Jesus because it was so lekker. Things were good. There's happiness, there's peace, there's supernatural provision. Man daar's nie net voorsiening nie, daar's oorvloed, there's abundance. And for those reasons, I got to this place where I was like, yes, this Christianity thing is lekker. I'm just coasting along now and it's just so great. And then the devil said, really? Okay. Kom ons kyk hoe oulik is jy nou. As ek my vinger bietjie in jou paai, kom krap daarso. En dan nou jy lewe kom smokkel. And then it was different. And then I had to have a total change of heart saying, God, why have I been living for you? So I want to ask you this morning, be truthful with yourself. And let the Spirit of God examine your heart and say, Lord, why am I in this? For ochend, by voorbeeld, let's just bring this really, really close to home. Is that okay, church? Amen. Why did you come to church this morning? Think about this. Do you come to church because when you go home, you feel lekker? Okay? But will you still keep coming to church if God keeps convicting you to change, 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 change? Will you still keep coming to church? Or will you just keep going when you go home? Yes, I feel lekker. Got my little spiritual boost this morning. Mosie het die jumper leads gevat. Nou is ek weer reg vir 6 of 7 dae. Will you still keep coming to church if the Spirit of God says, my son, my daughter, there's things that you've allowed in your heart and in your life that's breaking my heart and robbing you of the life of my son in your life. Why are we even doing this if it's not for God to be our exceedingly great reward? I notice there's nobody caring and chatting and saying, amen, Mozzie, you preach it, brother. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, isn't he? He's speaking to our hearts this morning. Getting us to a place where we can be honest and real with ourselves and say, Here, who come do nek dit? Who come? And the good news is that God wants to give you a life of abundance. See, He wants to give you a life of abundance. A life of abundance with victories and overcoming as well. If the scriptures, well, the scripture does say that we are more than conquerors and we are more than overcomers, okay? Hoe kan ek meer as 'n oorwinnaar wees as daar niks is in my lewe om te oorwin? How can I be more than a conqueror if there's nothing to conquer? How can I be more than a conqueror if there's no challenges, if there's no difficulties, if there's no trials and tribulations and heartaches and difficulties where my faith is put to the test? That's how I grow to become more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Now, some people are attracted to church for various reasons. Some people may come because the building is in a convenient location. I've spoken to people in the past, yeah, this is lekker because it's so naby, you weet. This lekker, it's gerieflik. It's so naby. Daarom gaan ek sien, because it's lekker easy, it's convenient. You know, it's easy, man, it's convenient, it's so close. Some people might come here because die tyd van die diens pas hulle. It's lekker, I can get church done in the morning, dan kan ek huis toe gaan en dan leef flat out vir die duivel. I can just go live flat out again and just smaak wat ek smaak, because I've done my Christian dues, because the service times are convenient. That's why I come to church. Some people might come to church because the dress code is casual. In summertime, we have people coming here in shorts and pluckies, and I love that. I'm cool with that. I'm cool that they're cool. Isn't it cool? Hallelujah. Some people come because of the casual dress code. Yeah, you have to be gesuit and getied to wees nie. And for those folks who come to church like that, bless you. Some people want to honor God like that, and that's fine. I'm fine with that. And so is God with that, by the way. Some people come to church because the music is good. I said some people come to church because the music is good. We love the deep end. Some people come to church because the music is good. Some people come to church because the preaching is good. Some people come to church because of the bikes. It's just, hierdie kerk is net lekker, ja. Somebody said amen because of the bikes. Woo! Duidelik weet ons waar sy prioriteite is, né? I'm just yanking your chain, my boy. Some people come because, ja, hierdie ding van bikers church is iets unieks. Dit's iets anderste. Dis it's just different, it's lekker. It's, well, you come on your bike and it's, oh. Some people come to church for the bikes. But in spite of all of those reasons, there will always be those who come to church in search of authentic Christianity. There will always be those who come to church in search of authentic Christianity. The real thing. Now I want to tell you this much. One day when God blesses us with our new building, hallelujah, it's going to be great. The music will be better. The facilities will be better. God will give people better bikes as they bless other people with bikes. Whoa. Hallelujah. And it'll still be the casual dress code. And by the grace of God, the preaching will get better. Listen, if you stop learning, you stop leading, isn't it? I trust God that He raises up somebody that will be a better preacher and a better pastor than I ever could be. Then I've done my job properly. Hello. So if you're sitting there with aspirations of, well, stick around. Stick around. Stick around. That's my desire. I want somebody to do a better job than I ever did. I'm not threatened by people who are more gifted and anointed than me. I want such people here. Hallelujah. So anyway, besides that. So when all of that happens, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the day, the most attractive thing that there could possibly be in a fellowship, the most attractive thing to the unchurched, is men and women of God who have authentic Christianity. Amen. How many of you seen anybody that tries and print a counterfeit 3 rand note? Het jy dit ooit gesien? Jy gaan café to whatever, give you a klein geld, and in the change there's a 3 rand note. Why? It's not worth counterfeiting a 3 rand note, is it? Because it's not the real thing. It's not the real thing. How many counterfeit 200 rand leopards are out there? Why? Because that's the real thing. And there are people in this world today that are looking for authentic Christianity. The real thing. What does the real thing look like? What does the real thing look like to the unchurched? When they come here, do the people greet them and love them the same way they do across the board, regardless of how they're dressed? Regardless of whether they've parked something outside or whether they've walked in off the street? Are they treated the same way? Hulle is hulle net so vriendelik met mekaar, met die wat hulle al maande en maande, miskien jare ken? Or they're just as friendly with a face that they've never seen before. That's authentic Christianity, ladies and gentlemen. And that's going to be the most attractive thing in pursuit of this vision. So what is the most attractive thing for people that come here? The bikes, the music, the preaching, the dress code, the location, the time, or authentic Christianity? By the grace of God, may it be authentic Christianity. What is authentic Christianity? That what we speak about and get excited about here, we live out behind closed doors at our home between Sundays. Authentic Christianity is what we speak about and get excited about here. We live out in the workplace when the pressure's on. Authentic Christianity is when what we speak about here and get excited about, we live out in the schools, universities, in the streets, on the road, when we're driving, when we're riding. Who dop ek 'n toets daarsel, né? Who dop ek 'n toets daarsel? That's authentic Christianity. Authentic Christianity is when what we get excited about here and say hallelujah and singy lickies, that we have that between our spouses, our children, our moms and our dads and our brothers and sisters at home. That's authentic Christianity. That's authentic Christianity. And that's going to be the most attractive thing to the unchurched. Because, you know, jy sal miskien dink mense is dom en onnoosel because it's die nonsens wat hulle aanjaag. But when it comes to issues of the heart, jy kan nie mense blaf nie. Hulle sien reg deur jou, man. You can't, when it comes to issues of the heart, mense kan duidelik sien. Hulle kan duidelik sien waar jy is hierso. Hoekom? Because die oë is die vensters van die siel. Then you want to put on sunglasses. Kuchink! Dilu! The eyes are the windows of the soul. And we've said this before, and it's worth repeating again. People won't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Amen. That's authentic Christianity. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Philippi, Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. I'll get a drink of water, please. Philippians chapter 3 from verse 3. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, the second edition. Philippians 3 from verse 3. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. Though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. He goes on to say, guys, if anybody has a right to brag, I've got a right to brag. And he does a little bit. He says, indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. Obeyed the law, that's what you're supposed to do when you're 8 years old. Well, it was done to you when you were 8 years old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. He's talking about his stock and his heritage. Proud. And say, of course, why vandaan kom? A real Hebrew, if there ever was one. A scholar of Hebrew, man. I was a member of the Pharisees. Those are the ultra, ultra religious folk, the kerk mense, who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. That's what he was. He's saying, this is what I did. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Imagine that. All those rules, 200 and something rules and regulations van mag nie, moenie, kan nie, sal nie. Yo, that's hard, man. So I battle to stick to the speed limit. In fact, I don't even try. Just, God forgive me. Wat nog van al die ander goeders? Wat nog van al die ander? And he says, I've done all of these things. I have reason to boast. I once thought these things were valuable. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. And he comes to realization in his life. He says, mense, om myself te regverdig, ek het al hierdie goed gedoen, ek het al die reëls en regulasies gebei, ek was die soetste van die soetste seentjies, was ek. Met stroop op. En versiersuiker. Tring, I was, that's it. But all of those things is rubbish. It's nothing. Because Christ has done something for me that I could never do for myself. He came to realize that. Christ has done something for me that I could never do for myself. And Paul came to realize this. I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For this sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Now let's look at his life just a little bit for a few minutes. This is a man who, he was like a mafia boss. He would organize hits on Christians. You hit, we hit. And he would organize for the Christians to be taken out. That's who this guy was. A Pharisee, a religious oak. The oak that Jesus came and criticizes, you bunch of hypocrites, you vipers, you snakes, you washed what tombs, you last did. Paul was one of those oakies. And then he's on his horse one day, and who appears to him? Jesus. And he just clops him off his high horse a little bit. Lippertini clipper. Daar lê hy. Nerf af. Daar lê hy. And Jesus says to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Don't you know it's hard to kick against the goads? The goads were those cattle prods, long skepgemaakte stokke. And they would jab the cattle at certain places that would get the cattle to go to places where they needed to be. He says, why are you kicking against these things? Why are you persecuting me, Saul? And his name was Saul then. He says, Lord, who are you? And what do you want me to do? And Jesus tells him. So he has an intimate face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ personally. And then he still writes something like this. He says, Lord, all of these things, I count them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be one with him. Paul's whole life pursuit was to be intimate with Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, that should be the ultimate vision and the goal of this church and its people. The unchurched, yes, but that they may have intimacy with God. Bring them into a family, yes, but that we have intimacy with God. To advance his kingdom, yes, but that we have intimacy with God. And he says, I count all of these things rubbish, that I may gain Christ and become one with him. Even if our efforts fulfill our vision, our goal must always be for the real reward, which is God, our exceedingly great reward. As the deep end comes up, I'd like us to sing that first song that you opened up with. Meditate on this scripture. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. Paul says, for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If you're seated here this morning, and the things of Christianity, the goals and the targets, and whatever it is that you stand to gain because of Christianity, has perhaps any more significance in your life than intimacy with God, then I encourage you this morning to search your heart before God and say, Lord, hierdie konsep van om intiem met U te wees, dis vir my vreemd. God wants intimacy with each and every single one of us. And if you're at a place in your life, maybe your walk with God isn't intimate. Maybe there's issues in your life where you know that, Lord, the very things I'm busy with are the things that grieve and break your heart. And there's that broken intimacy between you and the Father. I want to encourage you to take an opportunity this morning to restore that with the Lord. And if you've been involved in Christianity and serving the Lord because, ja, Mozzie, dis ek kan my vereenselvig met dit waar jy was. You're serving Jesus because of it's a promise of a good, abundant life, and that's what you're looking for, and that's what you're hoping for, and it's fine with that. But that has to take second place to intimacy with Jesus. If you're at a place in your life where you know that your intimacy with Jesus is not what it should be, right there where you're seated, I want you to take a moment to pray to the Lord. Intimacy with Jesus is not something that I can make you do, or something that somebody can teach you how to do. It's not something that you can get in a course. It's something that God wants to do in and through you. As you sit there this morning and you'd like, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God to enable you to have a walk of intimacy with Him like never before, I'd encourage you to pray that for yourself right there, where you're seated, in your own words. The Bible teaches that if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. This is not something that you have to achieve on your own strength or your own limited human ability or your efforts. This is something that God will do in you if you are sincere in your heart. And as you sit there this morning and you'd like to pray that prayer, for increased intimacy with the Lord. I want you to just pray this in your heart with me this morning. So, Father, you promise such great things to those who dare to trust you, to those who dare to believe you, those who dare to follow you, Lord, those who dare to lay down their lives to follow you, that you might give them your life. You've promised such great things, Lord. And Lord, I admit today that I need those things and I want those things, Lord. I want a life of abundance, Lord. I want to live in a land where it's flowing with milk and honey, where it's good, Lord. But Lord, I don't want those more than I want you, Lord. I want intimacy with you, Lord. That which Ozzy has spoken about, God, what does it mean to me where I am at in my life? What does intimacy with you mean to me, Lord? Lord, I want a greater intimacy with you than ever before. Holy Spirit, I ask that you come and saturate my life. Every area of my life that I've filled with other things that keep me busy and keep me distracted, Lord. And Lord, it's not necessarily things that are sinful, but it's just things that distract my focus and attention away from you a little bit too much. Lord, those things I want to lay down, I want to lay aside this morning. And I want you, Lord, step by step, one decision at a time, show me what to do to have an intimate connection with you. Lord, I've heard people share testimonies, and I just sense there's people here this morning, you've been thinking to yourself, you've heard of others talk about moments that they've had with God, or the way in which God has answered prayers, or the way in which God has come through for them, and they've been able to see and experience God for themselves in a very real way. And you've wondered to yourself, yes, Lord, if I don't know what that's like, and I've never had that for myself. And if you're that person, if you thought that this morning, God's got goodness in store for you, my brother, my sister. God's got a level of intimacy in store for you beyond your wildest dreams, for you in particular, because he loves you. You just invite him into your heart this morning and allow him to start you on a journey of intimacy with him like never before. Lord, as people have prayed that, Lord, I just thank you that it's not just an emotional thing based on the intimacy of the moment that we're experiencing now, but Lord, it will transform their lives and that they grow closer to you than ever before. In Jesus' name, would you stand with us all together as we stand to worship the Lord one more time?